and of the Holy Spirit. Let us unite our hearts in opening thanksgiving and prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, evening we gather here with your living congregation here on earth. We gather here with that prayer in our heart that you, Father, would be here in our midst, that you would open your word unto your poor and your weak servant, that you would give us ears to hear and hearts to believe. We also pray, Father, that your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, would also be here in our midst, as also the Holy Spirit. For we know that you, your Son, and the Holy Spirit are all three in one. You, our Creator, your Son, our Redeemer, and the Holy Spirit, our Sanctifier. Father, bless our services unto your honor and your glory, that your children here would be uplifted and comforted on the way and the journey. And Father, also to those yet seeking and searching on the outside of your kingdom, bring them also to the hearing of your word. Open their ears and their hearts also, that they might believe, and that one day they too would be able to attain that eternal glory in heaven. Remember also, Father, those who suffer their issues with health or maybe temporal issues. Help them, Father, comfort them, uplift them. And all these thoughts we close into that prayer which your Son has taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. For our study this Monday, Thursday evening, I will read the gospel text set aside for this evening, which is found in the Gospel of St. Luke, in the 22nd chapter, beginning with the 14th verse through the 22nd verse. And the words are in Jesus' name as follows. And when the hour was come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, with desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. But behold, the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me on the table. And truly the Son of Man goeth, as it was determined. But woe unto that man by whom he is betrayed. Amen. This text speaks of the time in the event when the children of God went from the Old Testament Passover meal to the New Testament Holy Supper. That supper which we too will partake of this evening in our service. That supper which, as we read, our Lord and Savior Jesus Himself established there on that Maundy Thursday evening. When we think of the name of this evening, Maundy Thursday, I'm sure you young children wonder, what is that word Maundy? You know it is not the day Maundy, but rather spelled differently with an A and a U, N-D-Y, Maundy. And that day, or that word, when I looked it up, because I, like you, even wondered what exactly this meant. And what I found in my research was that this word comes from, I believe, the Latin word mandate, which then ties to the commandment which Jesus gave to the disciples, also with that first communion supper. And you might wonder, well, what was that commandment that Jesus gave? We look into the 13th chapter of John. If we go there and look at the 34th and the 35th verses, Jesus says to his disciples, this time just shortly after Judas Iscariot had left from their gathering, he says to the disciples, he said, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. And by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." So Jesus gave this commandment to his disciples, to you and to me. We are God's children. We are the disciples of Jesus. We speak of the way and the journey as the Holy Spirit gives utterance, we could say. And we don't bring our own message, but we come with that message with the prayer in our heart that God would give the words which are needed at the particular time. I'm sure you parents know and understand even this, what I'm speaking of. When you have had those situations where you have wanted to speak to your children about something, and you have thought that, what will I say? But when the visit has ended, when it has begun with that prayer that God would give His word and instruction, have you marveled that God has given words? He has showed you places in the Bible that you hadn't even thought of when you began the visit. And this isn't only for parents, but I'm sure many of you, youth, you single believers, also have experienced this same experience that God has given the words, and to Him is all the honor and glory belong. So we see then that Jesus gave this instruction to us to love one another as He loves us. And we think about this, we sing in that opening song, 82, that we just finished singing, about the pain and suffering of the Lord and Savior Jesus. In faith, I now behold Thee. The world, I know the world gathers, especially at this time of Easter. It is, I think, one of those times in the year where many who have perhaps not gone to church all year long on that Easter time go to church. They remember the way, you could say, of Jesus' suffering. But when we think about it from a child of God's perspective, what does it mean, in faith, I now behold Thee, dear Jesus, in Thy pain? You know, don't you, brothers and sisters, you know what that means in a way that the world does not mean. Because you know that you are a sinner, and you know that Jesus has died for your sins and for mine. But you know also that you have experienced, when the blood has washed away that sin which has been burdening your heart and your conscience. That's the part that the world does not know. They see it only in a temporal way of the suffering. They see the outward suffering. But the child of God sees how that suffering was in my, in your behalf. Jesus opened the way for us to heaven. And Jesus wants us to make it to heaven. But while we are here on this world, here living on this earth, God has given each and every one of us a duty to do, which we even remember that mission command that is spoken of at the end of the Gospel of Matthew, that, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations and baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost." We have a duty and a mission to, first and foremost, keep faith in a good conscience. We ourselves must be believing as a child of God. And we are able to do this by and through faith, by and through that washing away of sin in Jesus' name and blood, by and through that believing in the Holy Spirit, which is found in God's living congregation. All three are needful and necessary for our journey of faith to heaven. When our sins are forgiven in Jesus' name and blood, we see how a great miracle happens. How Jesus is able to open the way again for us to firmly believe our sins forgiven. And we could say that the first fruit of this faith is love. Think about that, brothers and sisters. Have you experienced that in your life? Have you experienced, you little children, you youth and parents and grandparents and all gathered here, have you experienced that time where you were having a disagreement with somebody
And perhaps that it was even one where there was anger rising in your flesh. You were right and they were wrong. And perhaps even they said something that caused you hurt, that caused you to feel offended. What has happened when God has been able to help? When Jesus has been there where two or three were gathered in the midst, and the gospel of the forgiveness of sins has been preached one to another? Have you experienced it as I have? That anger goes away. That love is restored there between our neighbor. Suddenly, this one that we saw, that we were battling against, we now see them as a dear and precious escort in our faith. One who has preached the gospel to us in Jesus' name and blood. What has been forgiven here on earth is forgiven there in heaven. And God no longer sees those failings of ours, those sins of ours, that anger that Jesus spoke about, that if you have even thought it in your mind, you have committed murder in your heart. So precise, we could say, is the law. If somebody would want to try to fulfill it through their own good works, could not do such a thing. For I'm sure we have to say that we have all had these kinds of unacceptable thoughts, whether they are anger, whether they are righteousness, whether they are lust of our flesh. They have all been close to us. And so, as the Bible says, that when God looked down on earth, He saw that all were sinners. There was not one that had not fallen, no, not one. That's who's gathered here this evening, a congregation of sinners, a congregation of pardoned sinners, whom God loves. And so also we want to love our neighbor. And that, who is our neighbor? Well, certainly we could say that is those whom are in our family, our close ones. We could say it is our brothers and sisters in faith. How is it, brothers and sisters? Do you love your family? Do you care for them? Speak of the way and the journey. Uplift and encourage them when they have fallen into sin. Preach that gospel to them in Jesus' name and blood. How is it with your neighbor, your brothers and sisters in faith? How is it, brothers and sisters? Do we put the best light on our neighbor? Do we show love unto them? Not that outward love that comes from our flesh. No, not that, brothers and sisters. But that love that comes from the Heavenly Father. You know what that love is. That love that wants to help each other reach the glory of heaven. That love that wants to speak of the way and the journey, not from that perspective that I have been a successful traveler, that you have been a successful traveler, but what we have needed in our life, also we want to offer to those around us. Isn't that so? Mothers and fathers, when you teach your children, do you teach from that perspective that you have been a successful traveler? Or do you speak of your own experiences? You have been a faulty one, but God has preserved you in living faith when your sins have been washed away and ground in that sea of grace. We are all in need of this precious gospel. We see this evening that Jesus established this Holy Supper, this communion, there on that Monday, Thursday evening. Up until that time, it was the time of the Old Testament, and they gathered for that feast of the Paschal Lamb. We remember how it was when the children of God left Egypt, how on that last night before they departed, they had a meal. They took an unblemished lamb, an innocent lamb, and they slaughtered it, and they prepared a meal of that lamb with bitter herbs and spices, with unleavened bread. And so for the years after that departure from Egypt, the children of God remembered this time when they were freed from bondage there in Egypt with this Passover meal. What happened on that Passover evening? You remember, even the little children, you know what happened, don't you? Because God said that He would send the angel of death there into Egypt, and that the firstborn of each home and of the livestock, I believe as well, would die that night. But if through faith they sprinkled the blood of the lamb, of that Passover lamb, on the doorposts of their house, God said through Moses that the angel of death would pass over. I'm sure to the children of God of that day there, having been in bondage for 400 years in Egypt, I'm sure that they wondered with their mind and their reason that how could this be, and would it really happen that way? What did it take to be obedient, brothers and sisters? Faith. They had faith. They trusted in the Word of God. They trusted that word that Moses spoke was God's Word, which He revealed to Moses, His chosen leader of that day. And that's what they did. Well, I don't know if all of them did. Maybe some had doubts. Maybe some thought it was a strange request. But we know for the many, in their weak faith, they were obedient to that instruction. They sprinkled the blood of the Lamb on the doorpost of their home. And the angel of death passed over. But to those homes and those places that were not sprinkled with this blood of the Lamb, there came that death, as God had said. And it was so great and so devastating that the Pharaoh said, "Take your people and go. Leave my land. Get out of here." So they remembered that Passover meal. It was a miraculous event in the life of the children of God. And so also Jesus was gathered with His disciples there on that Monday, Thursday evening to have this Passover meal. We see here in that verse, when the hour was come, He sat down and the 12 apostles with Him. Oh, how beautiful it had to be there that evening. The apostles gathered with our Lord and Savior Jesus for that Passover meal. They expected, I suppose, well, wouldn't they? Why wouldn't they expect this normal meal to take place as it had for many years since the time that they came out of Egypt, that they would have the unblemished lamb, and they did, and that they would have the bitter herbs, and they did, and that they would break bread. All of these things they kept in that meal. But it was a different meal then, in the end of that meal, for it did not go the way normal meals went, but Jesus washed the feet of the disciples. This act in itself was hard for the disciples to comprehend. Jesus, that perfect one, Jesus who did no sin, Jesus who did so many miracles, Jesus who taught in patience and love, and so clearly to the children of God and also to those on the outside. Now he was washing their feet. He said that, "What I have done unto you, do you also unto each other. Wash one another's feet." Simple instructions. Love one another. Wash one another's feet. Love one another, not from the flesh, but that love that comes that when we know and we understand that my sins are forgiven, me, such a great sinner, my sins have been forgiven. Isn't it an easy task to preach the gospel to our neighbor whose sins seem so much lighter and smaller? We have been forgiven a great debt, brothers and sisters. There's no way we could have paid that debt with our works, with our understanding. No way. But it is only by this grace gospel of forgiveness of sins and that faith which comes then into our hearts when we believe. How is it, though, for you brothers and sisters? Is it good to be gathered this evening with Jesus in our midst? We are like the disciples there at that Maundy Thursday first Passover meal. Jesus is here in our midst. And he is teaching. He is instructing. He is also washing our feet. That as we have come here this evening, perhaps with many doubts, perhaps even knowing that we have stumbled and fallen into this or that sin, we have come with that prayer in our heart that we could hear again that gospel message. That is it so? Is it really true? Can I believe those sins forgiven? And this is the reason we are gathered here this evening, to hear that gospel message. For those doubts come so easily on the way in the journey. We hear the message of the enemy of souls, who says to us that you are a great sinner. And we see there he speaks the truth. He knows we are a great sinner. But then he follows that up with a lie. He says that you will never make it to heaven. And that is not true. Brothers and sisters, cling to this faith. Put sin away as sin attaches. You will make it to heaven. Even if you feel your faith is the weakest, even if you feel that the enemy is so close and that your flesh is so close, when you have that prayer in your heart and that desire in your heart, Jesus sees into the heart. We know from this text that he does, because he could see that Judas would betray him there that evening. He knew his heart. He knew he had fallen away from God. He had fallen into his own matters. of sin. Jesus knew that. Jesus sees into our hearts even today. He knows each and every one of us. He knows our name. He knows our middle name. He knows even if a hair has fallen from our head. So even this evening, brothers and sisters, as you have gathered here, even now you have this permission. Uplift your heart and believe. All your sins and doubts forgiven in Jesus' name and precious atoning blood. We have a good God and He loves us. He will not leave us on the way. As the Bible says, as Jesus said, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." Even though the world is becoming more and more dark, sin abounds more and more, yet God still has His kingdom here. And God's word will be here until the final time when Jesus comes again, when the earth is destroyed, and all those who have ever lived will be called before Jesus. We know there's only two messages that He pronounces. "Come ye, blessed of my Father, inherit everlasting life in heaven." Or to those who have not needed this gospel message, who have diminished it in their life, as we know, as the world has forgotten even about this forgiveness, to those He will say that, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity, for never have I known ye." So this is our prayer, that we could remain as a humble child of God. And this, brothers and sisters, is why God has instituted through His Son this Holy Supper, which we celebrate this evening. And as we celebrate those first Sunday mornings of the month, and at our gatherings of summer and winter services and special services, for the strengthening of our faith, it is a meal of remembrance, a meal when we can remember what Jesus has done in our behalf, how He paid our debt of sin, and that He washes away our sins and strengthens our faith. And so here in communion, it is this meal of remembrance. We come here to partake of the body and the blood of Jesus. As He said, and as we say in our words of institution, we say, "This is my body which is given for you, this do in remembrance of me. And this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you." It is truly a mystery what happens when we come to this altar and partake of the body and the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To the world, they see it again even as these outward elements, this bread which we eat and this wine or this grape juice which we drink. But to the child of God, what do we see when we come and we partake? We eat the body of our Lord and Savior, and we drink His blood in remembrance of Him. And what do we experience when we leave from this communion table? Is it not so, brothers and sisters, that our faith receives new strength? That our hope, this lively hope of eternal life in heaven is renewed? And we are again traveling in that joyful manner, that we are on our way to heaven, that God has not forgotten us, And then what about this love which Jesus spoke of to the disciples in that text in John? Is that love not strengthened? When we remember what Jesus has done for us, that love is strengthened, that we want to go even to our neighbors. Perhaps we have spoken wrong against them. Maybe we have thought angry thoughts about them. Maybe in whatever way the enemy of souls has tried to break the love that is found here in God's kingdom. You know who you have had these difficulties with when they have happened. Certainly husbands and wives know. Certainly children and parents know. Children to children. But brothers and sisters in faith also. Go to the neighbor and to speak of the way and the journey. We pray even in this way that, Lord, increase our faith. We don't pray, Lord, increase our wisdom and our understanding. Faith is the most important. And so we pray that God would increase our faith. The Bible says, brothers and sisters, if we had faith of a mustard seed, we could say to the mountain to move, and it would move. That's not very much. It's, if you've looked at a pen, and there's a little bulb in that pen that writes, puts the ink on the paper, mustard seed is small like that, maybe even smaller. That's a little faith is enough to attain eternal life in heaven. But many times we doubt. So we pray even in this way that, Lord, increase our faith. That will bring us to eternal life in heaven. When we believe, simply as a little child, when we don't harbor that sin in our heart and our conscience, when we don't let those differences between each other fester and cause offense, when we don't send those little messages all over the place, that would be disruptive and hurtful to the kingdom of God. These all can be washed away and drowned in the sea of grace in Jesus' name and blood. And so even yet again, brothers and sisters, I want to assure you in this way that you can uplift your heart. Believe all your sins and doubts forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. Be of good cheer and of good comfort. Come boldly now even to this grace altar to partake of communion, to eat of the body and to drink of the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And to do that in faith, not as the world, but as the children of God. I, too, coming before you with many doubts and sins on my heart and conscience, can I believe all of these forgiven even now? I want to believe with you, dear brothers and sisters, in Jesus' name, amen.